Gotcha. Welcome to the Village Oak Tree. I'm your host, Terrence O'Donnell. Here we are, entering the Ides of March, as the old saying goes. The sun has been shining a wee bit where I am, along with rising temperatures, and I'm a few days behind on my normal schedule this week. I'm still dealing with home repairs caused by climate change this winter, and I'm not done yet. The work I needed to do to date did cause an interruption in my normal schedule. But everything that's going on in my household and the world at large, I shouldn't be too awfully worried about this minor hiccup. Given the way things are moving so fast, this may not be the last schedule interruption I'll incur this year. I did manage to find a handful of news stories from across the spectrum in between my work schedule to point out how all this is going to affect average citizens around the world. Once I've finished talking about the stories I found for this week, I would ask everyone to stick around through my commercial break, so I can read to you another chapter of The Priest from Michael Campy. So, come sit you down somewhere in a patch of spring sunshine or a warm, cozy spot if you live in the more northern climates, and let me regale you with what I found for this week. As I said, I was I struggled a little bit, as far as what to do this week because of everything that was going on. And I was at a bit of a loss is what I wanted to say this week. And after watching the chaos every morning before going to work, I finally managed to come up with something. Part of it is because I've been very busy with house repairs, as I mentioned, over the last week, plus going out to work at some IT gig jobs that have come up a lot lately. And now I'm tired. I spent the last month dealing with the remnants of my burst water pipe in the wall from the last week of January. Between organizing contractors, order materials, having to do some of the repairs myself because of a shady home insurance company, and this week finding out that the hardwood flooring material I ordered got lost in shipping and the company can't replace the missing shipment. So I have to start all over again, all of which makes me a little tired. At first, my excuse was physical, as I didn't finish the repairs to my guest bathroom until late last Wednesday evening, which Wednesday being my normal day for the show. And doing a show was not going to happen. So I told myself that I would put it off until I had some more free time, which here Saturday, I actually have a free day, sort of. I'm sort of there now with the bathroom complete, for the most part. My wife will finish the rest, with my help, of course. My hardwood flooring will have to wait till I can find the materials, again. This is the new America. We better get used to this from here on out. The overseas supply chains are already starting to dry up. Then there's my next project, which is to replace an out-of-date, as in discontinued, gas fireplace. I have the materials ready to go, mostly, and I'll be starting that next week. So who knows? I may have another scheduled interruption just because I'll be knee-deep in putting a new fireplace in. Once I have those projects completed, I'll be done for the year, unless I have another weather emergency. I told my wife that we need to complete all home repair projects early this year before the prices of materials go up because of the tariffs that are probably going to be imposed, even though Trump can't seem to make up his mind this week. And with that in mind, I've got a story here that I'll show you exactly what that means. Let me bring this story up here. So I got the story in the next one out of CBC Canada. And as you can see, Trump says, oh, we're going to do the 25% tariff next week after a month-long pause, which he, it's supposed to be March 4th. So this is what we can expect, right? You think he's been saying it long enough? But as we can see, he can't seem to make up his mind, okay? So let me bring up this other one, all right? And this, you'll see what I mean. And then I have this story. Big tariffs on Canada, not necessarily, White House says. Well, you know what? this was the beginning of these two stories were for the beginning of this week. Monday said tariffs. Tuesday said maybe not. Now everybody's gearing up because now he's saying it again. I mean, really? You know, he needs to make up his mind. Yes or no? He's, you know, Canada is right now sitting on the edge trying to figure out what's coming next. So the thing is, we all know that's nothing new. He says one thing, turns around and says something else the next day, or sometimes within just a few hours. I mean, you can't ever tell. And as one somebody pointed out this week, almost everything he says is a lie or a blatant exaggeration. So the big thing is, I do think he'll eventually get around to setting them in place eventually. The ones for China are already set. It's only a short matter of time before the retail market starts to reflect these new taxes. Building materials being at the top of my list right now. So I'm just, you know, I'm just like any other normal person. I got stuff I got to take care of, and I'm having trouble getting stuff ordered in. I can't just run down to the local store. Well, unless I want to incur a lot more expenses, you know, by changing out the complete flooring in my house, I have to special order this stuff. And as I said, it's, you know, the delays are getting ridiculous. So I've set aside some interesting articles over the last few days, but now some of them seem to be rather minuscule compared to the more important things I discovered late this week. Like all this business of Trump trying to shake down Ukraine over all those Russian rare earth and other minerals. I'm sure everybody has been talking about this. Okay. I mean, really, deal making with Putin and the Kremlin over ending the war and who gets the spoils once the troops are pulled back. That's been the big topic. Europe is all in a tither about this, and they sent their more prominent emissaries to the White House to try and curry favor from the wannabe king of the Western world. Both Macron and Starmer have paid visits to the castle in Washington in order to persuade Trump to give Europe what they want. Both left pretty much empty-handed. I watched a couple of military experts this week tell us that Egypt is moving its military to the border of Israel and Palestine. These retired military officers are saying that Egypt may be getting ready to invade, maybe even coordinate with their neighbors to put a stop to the Israelis. There is talk of Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Egypt, and maybe Jordan working up some kind of a plan to subdue Israel and help the Palestinians. Wouldn't that set off a bunch of fireworks in the Middle East? Maybe even Turkey will get into the mix and help drive the IDF out of southwestern Syria. Now, a major conflict in the Middle East may not have a direct impact on the American public at first. But as we may remember from past fracases in the Middle East, a regional war will have an effect on shipments of oil from that region and drive up the price of oil and gas around the world, especially in the U.S. As with previous spikes like this in the past, when the price of gas and diesel goes way up, the people protest in the streets to try and force the government to do something about it. With Trump in the White House, you can guess how he'll handle something like that. Much like how we watched him not handle the COVID pandemic back in 2020. He probably won't handle a major economic crisis any better either. It's becoming painfully obvious that Trump is doing what he always does. He has a plan, sort of, in motion that suffers little tweaks nearly every day when he lies about something one day and reverses himself the next day, or just outright lies to everyone without regard for the consequences. Then this latest spectacle on Friday with the public argument for Zelensky, with him not being respectful enough for the mafia don. And I do have a story for that. This is one I got from Zateo, who I subscribe to for a lot of things. They have some pretty good stuff. But as you can see, this is just one independent news. You know, this was all over the news everywhere you could think of. So as I said, this is the latest spectacle on Friday with the public argument. You know, how is Trump not acting like an old school Sicilian mobster? You know, but then I digress. I have an article from one of my favorite Americans. He's a climate engineer And according to his latest article, he also has a master's degree in economics. So let me pull that up for you. And I'll kind of show you where it's at. And this is his article, "The Coming Debt Trap: How Trump's Economic Moves Could Reshape Your Financial Future." He tells us in this latest article that Trump's supposed plan to artificially inflate the price of gold in order to cash in on that, while fleecing the middle class and the poor. Of course, this would also benefit the morbidly rich, who can afford to invest in significant amount of funds to take advantage of this artificial price hike. While this is speculation so far, he lays out a pretty convincing argument about how this is shaping out. For those of us who have invested in gold, it could be a nice short-term get-rich scheme until people figure out the scam and the price drops like a stone. But according to the author, that's the point. Buy low and sell high before anyone could figure it out. He speculates that this may be the real reason Trump wants to send Musk to the federal treasury facilities to inventory the gold bullion and evaluate its worth. Imagine the horror if Trump and Musk managed to somehow steal U.S. gold. It would be the ultimate con job, or just outright thievery. Of course, everybody knows he thinks that nobody can touch him as far as the courts are concerned. There's more to this in the article, so I urge as many people as possible to read this and decide for yourselves. Are King Donald and his boy Wonder planning on stealing U.S. Treasury somehow? As if there isn't enough hijinks going on in the land we seek, Musk is also gutting the FAA. He's gutting air traffic controllers across the country. He wants to dump Verizon as the communications provider for all the air towers. There's speculation in the story that he wants to replace Verizon with his Starlink systems. That shouldn't surprise anyone by now. More and more, it's beginning to look like Musk is planning on replacing as much infrastructure as possible with his different corporate products, with the blessings of the U.S. president. Maybe they will even share a little bit of that spoils of war with Bezos and Zuckerberg. Who knows anymore? And last but not least this week, I've been reading a lot of climate and environmental articles lately, since Trump and Musk have defunded and fired nearly everyone in the EPA by now. To keep it all simple for those of us who live around all these polluted places in the U.S., without the EPA to keep things legal, more and more people are going to get sick and die in the future. I have an article from Inside Climate News that talks about how a nuclear power plant that had been on the chopping block is now going to be revived in order to keep up with the high demand for more and more electricity. So let me bring that up. So as I said, this is from Inside Climate News. And it talks about this nuclear power plant on the coast of Lake Michigan, on the Michigan side, which was cited and slated for shutdown, cited as in like fined and all kinds of other punishments, until recently for coolant leakages and into the lake, air from the smokestacks that was making people sick. And it says people living around this plant have a large percentage of thyroid cancer and other maladies, which is why they were going to shut the plant down and demolish it. This is just one example of all the corporate polluters who are now going to literally get away with murder by the hundreds. These corporations don't care. They never really did. I'm old enough to remember when all the largest corporations were being held to task, fined, and even some executives arrested through the decades until now. In this new age, fossil fuel companies and any other polluters who were always operating on the margins of safety and pollution will now have free rein to do whatever they want, as there's no longer anyone to hold them accountable anymore. This applies to general workplace safety as well. I'm sure that everyone who has ever worked for in any type of industrial environment has heard of OSHA. I know I have. When I had my own service company, even though most of the time I was the only employee, I still had to keep OSHA safety posters up where anyone could see them. That's the law, or it used to be anyway. Maybe not anymore. It seems the U.S. is moving backward in time to when workplace safety, whether it involves moving objects or pollution, is becoming a thing of the past. With health insurance becoming so expensive for nearly everyone, if someone gets hurt at work, they may be out of luck all the way around. Without workplace health insurance or enforced safety regulations, going to work may become hazardous to your health. But then, now working is also hazardous to your health for different reasons. The working class in the United States appear to be entering a damned if you do and damned if you don't situation anymore with regard to taking care of their families. There's so much speculation about where the United States is heading as far as the near future is concerned. There are strong rumors circulating in the media that the 2026 midterm elections are already being decided as far as congressional candidates are concerned. They're spreading rumors that the MAGA party is already rigging the election right now in 2025 to further restrict who can vote and who the voters can vote for in 2026. This is to set up a new single-party electorate in the U.S. for 2028. Given how Congress is largely sitting on their hands right now, fawning over the new president, letting the executive branch do whatever it wants, the U.S. just might look like Hungary, Russia, or North Korea by 2028. I don't know about any of you folks, but I can't afford to go looking for a better place to live on planet Earth. Europe is collapsing. Africa is a chaotic mess as they are suffering growing pains while they throw out their old colonizers, such as France, Britain, and the U.S., and many others. Central and South America are also up in upheaval to a degree while they try to sort themselves out after some of them thumbed their noses at the U.S., and the U.S. is trying to play the bully still. Then there's Asia. China has the fastest growing economy in the world, as anyone not living under a rock knows by now. And the United States is having conniptions over this. This is the main reason they're dissing Europe right now, causing all kinds of anxiety over there. The U.S. is trying to pivot to the Pacific in order to step on China with an iron-shod boot, and they don't have the money to take care of Europe while they try to shut down the Chinese. There are lots of analysts who are telling anyone who will listen that the U.S. is doing all it can to work towards enacting a maritime blockade of China in order to choke off their economy. The U.S. doesn't want any competitors in the world markets, and they have no problems using every dirty trick they can muster up to accomplish that. It's not like this is anything new. The United States has been doing this for over 100 years, and, as I mentioned here before, these morbidly rich Americans seem to have an addiction to hoarding money, much like drugs or alcohol or gambling. The crash of 1929 was the first time their scams brought some of their house of cards down, but that didn't stop them for long. At the end of World War II, they saw another opportunity, and they've been working at being this monopoly on and off ever since. The crash of 2008 didn't deter them that much, as then-President Obama famously bailed the biggest ones out at the expense of the taxpayers in order to keep the country out of a major depression that these corporate banks got everyone into in the first place. I thought back then, and still do, that he was wrong. He should have let them all go belly up. Sure, it would have hurt the economy some at the time, but the U.S. would likely be in a better place now if he had. Here in 2025, the U.S. has a president who is all in on the U.S. being the economic monopoly of the world. He doesn't have a clue on how to get that done smartly, so he's falling back on standard mafia tactics. Bully anyone he can get what he wants, coerce those he can't bully, or lie to them in order to trick them into giving what he wants. Bottom line, use any trick possible to get what he wants. Nearly everyone in the world, via media and social media, has a front row to this. The big question everyone watching this spectacle is asking, what's he going to do next? No one knows from one day to the next what's going to happen once the sun comes up in the morning. Everything he says in public is taken at face value, even though most people know he's lying nearly every time he says something. From exaggerating facts to outright figments of the imagination. The trouble is, no one can afford to dismiss him. He has too much power in the world, and no one is sure whether he will be crazy enough to wield it against them. These state visits by France, Britain, and Ukraine this week were perfect examples. Meanwhile, while we're watching the circus in Washington, D.C., there are movements taking place behind the scenes to maneuver things towards the private sector. Jessica Wildfire provided an article from Politico about how private security corporations are trying to push Trump into authorizing private immigration forces, more private prisons and private planes to expedite the illegal immigration removals around the country. They're already getting lots of news stories of people being rounded up and sent to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, then on to their final destination, their original country. They may have entered the country illegally and never committed any other crime, but they're being apprehended anyway. I haven't heard any more stories lately of American citizens or green card holders being swept up again. That may be due to a massive cover-up, or maybe they haven't taken any lately. I'm sure there'll be some eventually, though, if they're still planning to round up millions of people. If Trump signs off on this bid for privatization, imagine companies with a reputation of BlackRock showing up in neighborhoods all across the U.S., searching homes without warrants to arrest illegal immigrants. What could go wrong? Not to mention that now Trump would have his own private army, much like the German brown shirts or the Irish black and tans of the last century. I repeat, what could possibly go wrong? If history is any teacher, everything will go wrong. So far, according to this article in Politico, Trump has ignored this request. Maybe he isn't even aware of it. Maybe that's a good thing. Let's just hope it stays that way. There's already enough chaos in what we can do without any more. And has anyone heard about all these newly terminated federal employees are going to do for a living now? We have yet to hear of the unemployment statistics that are going to go up because of all this. But given how this government doesn't like to talk about bad economic news, it may take a month or two before we see the numbers go up. And even then, Trump's people will likely lie about it, much like Biden's people did. Will all of this add to the homeless population, which stands at roughly 800,000 as of last fall, with 1 in 5 U.S. citizens taking advantage of some part of Medicaid until now? You can bet that a large portion of them will likely end up being homeless as well. While Trump spends tax dollars with bait and switch programs to try and fool people into believing he's slashing the budget, the latest bill making its way through Congress is just such one of those, a bait and switch. The only ones benefiting from this legislation are the morbidly rich, according to the news sources. They're not going to be trimming the budget, just moving the money into the pockets of the oligarchs. The only good news is that last Friday, there was a so-called Boycott Corporate Retailers Day. It was supposed to be a national day that people could stop buying things at the corporate box stores. I mean, it's a good thing. You know, it's a start, but just one day's nothing more than an ineffectual symbolic gesture. If people really want to make an economic impact, a boycott like that would have to last at least a month or more. I don't see many Americans willing to make that kind of sacrifice yet. Look at what happened back in 2020 when the country shut down for a month due to the pandemic. The majority of the people went bonkers. They're still talking about that even now here in 2025. I don't know anymore where we're headed with all this. It most certainly looks like a clown show at a circus. It's likely going on behind the scenes that scares me more these days. It's things like that that will show up unannounced when we least expect it and dramatically change our lives forever. Things like firing the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon for stupid reasons or no reason at all, fake reasons, in order to replace them with fawning loyalists who will not question orders from the commander-in-chief, firing a large percentage of the civil servants, and this mass roundup of millions of illegal immigrants without warrants that have me looking over my shoulder more these days. I'm also asking myself nearly every day when I watch or read the news, what's coming next? What new surprise can we expect today or tomorrow? So many people across the U.S. are also asking themselves the same questions. So many are now worried about whether they're going to have a roof over their heads and access to food tomorrow, next week, next month. Many others are wondering if any American immigration militias will be paying them a visit soon. Although I may not be worried too much about immigration authorities personally, simply because of the color of my skin, I am worried about the economy. If things keep going the way they are, we may all be experiencing food and shelter insecurity someday within the next couple of years, or at least those of us who are not morbidly rich anyway. For those who voted for Trump in order to save them from economic ruin, I'm sorry, but you are conned once again. This time from someone who will go down in the history books as the greatest grifter in history. It'll take a while for all this to sink in, but it will eventually. Then what? It's not like the U.S. can vote for a non-confidence in their government like the Europeans and the Canadians can do. Once elected, the executive branch is there for four long years, unless they die or remove from very serious crimes, like Richard Nixon and his VP war back in the 1974. Now, the thing is, we already tried that with Trump the last time he was president, and we saw how that worked out, don't we? The U.S. is the only superpower to have a convicted felon as a president. In the past, we fired those criminals. Now we have a cult hero. I think he'll turn out to be more of an anti-hero before too much longer. But then what? We have J.D. Vance as a backup. His theatrics in the Oval Office with Zelensky last Friday are a small example of what anyone can expect from him. Senator Bernie Sanders is making the rounds of the country to try and take the glitter off this government. We need more politicians like him to do the same thing if we're going to save what's left of the democracy. Democrats are way too slow and not even visible right now, and that needs to change quickly. Maybe if enough independent news people make enough noise, these Democrats will finally crawl out of their caves and stand up fight. One can only hope as the lights are starting to go dim in the United States as more and more customers take their business elsewhere. Europe and Canada are starting to do that after last week. China has been doing that for a while and will be going ahead in earnest now. The Africans will look harder towards China and Russia now that the U.S. is proving to be more unreliable. South America is also, except for Argentina, moving closer to China and Russia. It will take a bit, but eventually, all of Trump's bullying will isolate the U.S. from everyone else in the world, and the economy will hit the brakes hard. I actually thought Trump would take a hint last week, but after Friday's antics, I no longer think that. We need to all prepare for a global recession depression. Some countries will get hit extremely hard, like in Western Europe and the UK Commonwealth, due to their ties with the U.S. The rest will take a hit, but stay afloat due to their alliances that are not so dependent on the U.S. The BRICS bloc comes to mind when I say this. Get ready, folks. Wherever you live on planet Earth, if Trump continues as he is doing, and I have no reason to believe he will change, he will cause a major disruption across the globe, and those of us who live in the Americas will feel it the most. I, for one, am taking care of all my necessary things now while I still can. Because unless something radically changes very soon, those of us who don't have the luxury of six-figure incomes or more may end up with food and shelter insecurities we haven't experienced since the 1930s. As we continue to watch this clown show from the White House in the United States, think about what I just said. Trump is already impacting life across the developed world today. If you live in Europe right now, how much has your economy tanked lately and impacted your lives? The U.S. is starting to feel us a little bit now, but it's going to get worse very quickly, very soon. Countries across the Americas are all scrambling to create new supply chains right now to offset the loss of the U.S. markets due to the oncoming tariffs starting next week on March 4th, unless Trump changes his mind again. You never know. If you truly want to know what's going on, use the internet to search out the independent news and learn things that mainstream media is afraid to tell you. And be very afraid. Very, very afraid. So that's all I've got for you this week. I'm going to let you listen to my little commercial right now. And when I come back, I'll read another chapter of The Priest from Michael Campy. I want to take this minute to explain how you can support this podcast and advertise my book. The podcast is free and can be found on these major mobile podcast apps, on my YouTube channel, and my Substack page at Crown of Beha, the Tree of Life at Substack.com. To help defray my cost, I'm asking for donations of any amount so everyone has an opportunity to watch or listen to this podcast anywhere in the world. I set up a donations tab at rss.com and the Village Oak Tree, and on my website at www.crownofbeha.com. And I'll link to PayPal for your security. This way you can use any currency you wish from around the world, providing PayPal is available to you in your country. So now let me tell you about my book. Fugitives in the New United States, which can be found on all major online book retailers around the world, comes in hardcover, paperback, and ebook version. You don't want to wait for them to print you one. You can also buy a hardcover or paperback edition from me directly through the bookstore page of my website, and I'll ship it right out to you. This is a dystopian fiction about what the United States might look like by 2031 under a Christian theocracy. It's full of drama, action, and romance, set against a backdrop of U.S. societal collapse. The story follows a trio of resistance fighters as they navigate across Upper New England in their quest to escape from the authoritarian regime. So that's all I have here, and I appreciate any effort you can to support this endeavor that I'm doing, no matter how small it may be. Thank you very much. Welcome back. So let me bring you chapter 27. This is the priest, formerly known as Bob, and this one's titled All Aboard the Fun Train. Dolly and Poor crept up to an old truck parked just out at the camp. There were 20 men lying around as though someone had just thrown a handful of men on the ground and left them where they landed. Is this how they always sleep? Asked Dolly. Yes. There's no rhyme or reason to it. Mostly they just pass out and stay where they fall until they wake up. Do they always sleep at night? Most of the time. Unless they're going out on a raid. Where do they stay in the daytime? There are all sorts of tunnels and vaults and underground rooms that stay cool during the day. It's kind of rare that you find them asleep outside at night. They're pretty pleased with themselves and don't think they have anything to worry about. Well, let's see if we can change that. Is there one that was particularly brutal and unpleasant? Said Dolly. They're all that way, but the leader was always the worst. He seemed to think that to maintain his alpha position, he had to be meaner and more violent than the rest. Would you know him if you saw him? She pointed and said, he's right there in the middle, the one with the Viking hat on. A fucking Viking hat? He thought it made him look scary. Okay, so here's your first lesson. You're just going to kill him. I thought we were going to kill all of them. In any kind of violent physical interaction with more than one opponent, your best strategy is to identify the top dog and take him or her out first. This has a demoralizing effect on other attackers. Imagine what's going to be like for these guys if they wake up and find that someone snuck into their camp and killed their leader. They'll probably panic. They'll feel real fear knowing that they're not as invulnerable as they thought. It's not 100% guaranteed, but it may scare them enough that they'll think twice about chasing us. Do you think that'll happen? Might not. I'm hoping because I don't want to worry about them. How do I do it? The best way in this situation is to slash his throat. We don't want him to wake up and start kicking up a fuss. With his throat cut, he won't be saying much. He'll make a weird gurgling noise as he tries to breathe. He'll bleed out in a few minutes. Your job, should you decide to accept it, I've wanted to say that ever since I saw Mission Impossible. Poor looked at him like he would look at a dog who just threw up on the carpet. What? Said Dolly. That's just weird. You're using the apocalypse as an excuse to say your favorite lines from movies. It's a hobby. I'm trying to get all my favorites in before I die. Like I said, weird. Dolly looked hurt. It's not weird. It's just my jam. Don't you have a jam? I've been a little busy getting kidnapped, beaten, starved, and abused by a bunch of psychos. It didn't leave a lot of time for recreational pursuits. It's not weird, Dolly said quietly. It is weird. It is not. Can we get back to the reason why we're here? Dolly got excited. I have a surprise for you. For me? You shouldn't have. He reached under his dress and pulled out a vicious-looking double-edged knife. This is a replica of what's known as a V-42 fighting knife. It was designed to kill people. During World War II, there was a special forces group known as the Black Devils, who were a highly trained group of killers who used it behind enemy lines. I was told that they even had a little sign they would leave on the bodies of their victims that said, "The worst is yet to come." I liked that story so much that I had a bunch of those signs made up. I still have a few left. He reached in his pocket and pulled out one of the notes. This is for you to put on the leader after he's dead. You sure you want to give me this? She said, holding up the knife. I have another one. The one I have, I got from my father, who got it from his father, who was a member of the Black Devils. Quite a lineage, she said. It's the only family heirloom I have left. When we go in there, I want you to walk heel to toe like this. he stepped forward onto his heel and then rolled his foot forward. It's easier to walk quietly that way. She tried a few steps. Like that? Exactly like that. You ready? I am. They began to move forward toward the group on the ground, stepping over the bodies of the sleeping men. Por moved quietly toward the middle of the men, and Dolly stayed on the periphery to keep watch. She righted the man who would soon feel the blade of her knife. She crouched beside him, then leaned over and blew in his ear. What are you doing? Asked Dolly in a loud whisper. Por didn't look at him and blew again. He opened his eyes. She smiled at him and said, Do you remember me? He looked shocked. She drew the knife across his throat and said, That's for all of us. She didn't move and watched as the blood came rushing out. Dolly came in quickly and grabbed her arm. We got to go. She stood slowly, and as Dolly pulled her back, she stepped on one of the men. He woke up. What the fuck? Dolly kicked him in the face, and he went back to sleep. Come on, he said. She was remarkably calm as she allowed herself to be led out of the camp. When he got back to where they had hidden, Dolly began to run. They got a few hundred yards away as she stopped. Shit, she said. What are you doing? I forgot to put the sign on him. Would you like to go back? He said sarcastically. She looked back towards the camp and said, Nah, I'll do it next time. Dolly grabbed her by the shoulders and looked deep into her eyes. They were deep and dark, and it felt to him like he was staring into a black hole. He smiled. You're one of us. She smiled back. So that's all I have for you this week as far as the show goes. And I appreciate everybody for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll return again to talk more about the world we live in. Please like, subscribe, reply, and share the videos or audio podcasts, however you watch and listen. The goal here is to resist the people who want to take our freedoms away from us. I appreciate everyone around the world, no matter who or where you are. Together, using independent media like this, we can resist the authoritarian oligarchs in the West and everywhere else for that matter. As I say goodbye this week, I wish to leave you with this Irish blessing as we try to survive another week of mayhem. May we finally find the peace and contentment we seek, despite the whirlwinds of chaos brewing all around us. Slán go fóill.